Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lee Zeldin, who has now officially rescinded the 2009 endangerment finding for greenhouse gas emissions. This was the ruling that allowed the EPA to apply the Clean Air Act's authority against car manufacturers and require monitoring and reduction of tailpipe emissions of carbon dioxide, methane, nitrous oxide, hydrofluorocarbons, perfluorocarbons, and sulfur hexafluoride on motor vehicles. Well, as we long feared, Zeldin has now reversed the finding, making it legal for car and truck companies to ignore planet-killing gases and essential planet-saving measures like fuel economy standards. Look, obviously this is a terrible day for Gaia-fearing people everywhere, because this can only accelerate the now seemingly inevitable climate apocalypse coming to a subdivision near you. But there is one particular element of this change that we find especially offensive: the loss of the stop-start feature on new cars. Years ago, because of the importance of incentivizing car companies to make their cars less greenhouse gas belchy, someone dreamed up the idea of stopping car engines at red lights, theoretically eliminating the creation of greenhouse gases while idling. So the EPA offered an off-cycle credit, rewarding companies that installed this unproven feature in their automobiles, and engines across the fruited plain began turning off every time someone stopped the car, only starting again when they pressed the gas. Even though there was no real evidence that this actually had much impact on emissions, and plenty of evidence over time that it was bad for car maintenance, the program continued. And although almost every driver hated this feature, those of us who follow the holy religion of wokeism recognize this as wonderful technology. A good religion is all about the little things, especially the small, meaningless ways we can remind ourselves that we are better than other people because we endure inconveniences for the sake of our beliefs. It's especially saintly for such sacrifices to have a public-facing element so that we can show our devotion to other people, what we call virtue signaling. They hear us turn off our cars every time we do so. Well, much like recycling, the stop-start feature allowed us to feel good about ourselves, show our goodness to others, and continue to reinforce our participation in the holy orders of climate change opposition. But now Zeldin has taken away the incentive for this widely despised feature, and we can assume it will disappear from new vehicles soon. It's a sad loss of something whose lack of effectiveness made it the perfect virtue signal. It inconvenienced us and reminded us how bad carbon dioxide is and how wicked our own internal combustion engine vehicles were, with no real benefit to the planet, making it an almost perfect act of self-congratulatory penance. A truly upsetting loss for generating feelings of personal superiority. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Florida State Representatives Deborah Tendrich and Chase Tremont for getting their atrocious new bill passed by the entire Florida House with a 92-14 vote. HB 31, entitled A Bill Recognizing Judea and Samaria, requires that all official documents of the state of Florida will no longer refer to the West Bank portion of Israel inhabited by the Palestinians on the west side of the Jordan River. Instead, that region will now be referred to by the biblical names of Judea and Samaria. I know, barbaric, right? Of course, this purely Zionist bill is designed to delegitimize the rightful connection to and ownership of that land by the Palestinian people who currently occupy it, and to reinforce the idea that the entire area west of the Jordan is part of historical Israel and not Palestinian territory. In fact, this bill echoes a move by the Israeli Knesset last year, essentially doing the same thing for all official documents and correspondence in Israel. Now, I know for some of you it might seem strange that we would oppose a name change, since renaming things is one of the four most popular sacraments of our religion. And yes, sometimes we even embrace a name change we dislike only because it favors the overall practice of changing names and separating people from their historical reference points. And that's the problem here. Calling the West Bank Judea and Samaria has the net effect of reminding people of their history and the additional effect of reinforcing the notion that this land all belongs to the Jews. Moreover, even though we usually celebrate ethnic groups in their efforts to reclaim their language and land and culture from the appropriators, because Jews don't count as a legitimate race or ethnicity to us, there's nothing wrong with doing this, and there's nothing right about letting them reclaim it. Palestinians, on the other hand, who are really just Arabs living in the wrong place, well, we do support them in anything they do. We call it Palestine instead of Israel because that makes it sound like it doesn't belong to the Jews, and we call the people Palestinians because it makes it sound like the land we invented a fake name for belongs to them. So to replace the term West Bank with Judea and Samaria only serves to make it seem like the Jewish nation actually has a right to own its own territory, or to exist at all. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, a brass tambourine with 7 patchouli oil-drenched rainbow tassels for the unidentified Tumblr user who invented the term finsexual and used it enough that we are now all blessed by its familiarity in our lives. For the few of you who do not yet know the term, fin refers to being feminine in nature, and finsexuals are people who are attracted to anyone who scores highly on the femininity scale. In other words, rather than being attracted to members of a certain sex based on genitalia or a certain gender based on identity, finsexuals are attracted to anyone who presents as feminine. Within the finsexuality spectrum, of course, people may still have other preferences, such as one person who said, "I'm attracted to fin individuals, but I have a preference for those with female genitalia." In other words, man bits might not be a deal breaker, even if woman bits are preferred. It's the wrapping on the outside that matters, not merely what's inside the box. Our one problem with this definition is that historically, the terms masculine and feminine have been used to reinforce the dominant gender norms of the patriarchy and to make men who do not have the supposed traits of masculinity feel inferior or less male, and the same for women. For instance, being feminine might involve being demure, soft, gentle, coy, supportive, adoring, flirty, graceful, empathetic, and so forth. Fashion and appearance all reinforce the concept, so having exotic eyelashes, applying makeup, having long hair, smelling like perfume, shaving legs and armpits, and wearing dresses or skirts and heels have been viewed as feminine. In contrast, masculinity means being strong, determined, accomplished, enduring pain, drinking alcohol for fun, being sexually aggressive and generally hairy, making a lot of money, refraining from too much display of emotion except over sports and loud noises like fireworks, jet engines, and gunfire, ignoring fashion, smelling well, manly, and also obviously not showing any fondness for musicals Taylor Swift or Quiche. But obviously, we don't agree that there even is such a thing as femininity, since all women are equally entitled to consider themselves fully feminine, no matter how masculine they are. Men, on the other hand, are only allowed to consider themselves either as belonging in the wicked category of toxically masculine, or else being healthy, you know, feminine. Now, clearly, if there is such a thing as finsexuality, there is also such a thing as minsexuality, masculine in nature, which means being attracted to masculine women as well as masculine men or even masculine non-binaries. And what we so vehemently love about all of this is the way it offers new and unexplored ways to confuse people about sexuality. The more flavors in the fruity rainbow, the better. Perhaps some people are attracted only to young-seeming or young-in-nature people, so we might say that Leonardo DiCaprio, Tom Cruise, and the recently deceased Robert Duvall are all yin-sexuals. Perhaps other people might be attracted to blondes, regardless of whether they're blonde men, blonde women, or blonde others. It's just the blonde hair that turns them on. And so we have blonde-asexuals and brunette-asexuals and even ginger-sexuals, which is obviously everybody. Some people might even distinguish between hair color assigned at birth and hair color as identified now. And without wanting to dead hair color anybody, they might simply prefer so-called natural brunettes to trans brunettes. You could even have people attracted to thin or plump persons, thin-asexuals and plump-asexuals. But of course, some people are technically overweight according to the body-shaming device of a scale, but identify as thin, and we don't want a dead BMI those persons. So a tinsexual would be someone who's attracted to those who present as thin in nature regardless of actual body shape, and pinsexuals might find people attractive who present as plump in nature even if they're technically thin. But you get the point. Our goal here is to make as many different terms, categories, distinctions, and inclusionary bits of utter nonsense as possible so that in the end, nobody knows what anything really means anymore. And just as obviously, we must now officially expand the holy acronym string to include these new additions. So, to our dear LGBTQ2SIA+FMBGTP persons everywhere, we see you and we affirm you, even if we don't fully understand you. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.